The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. 3 o'clock on your Monday afternoon, getting fired up, ready to go. Trey Wallace has the day off alongside Bear. I'm Russell Smith. We've got Parker Pewitt, River Bailey hanging out with us in studio this afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. Congrats to all the dads out there. Congrats on successfully reproducing, furthering.
Thank you, Russell.
Furthering your line. Yes, Bear is the only dad. So, and Nate?
Nate?
The three of us, are we the only dads?
That we know of.
Yeah.
Yeah, me, you, Nate.
Congrats.
Yeah.
You have a good Father's Day?
Oh, I had a great weekend.
Yeah?
I love when the U.S. Open goes to Pebble Beach, Russell.
Primetime golf, man. It's hard to beat. Gary Woodland. Did you know who Gary Woodland was before this weekend?
Yeah, I knew he was a journeyman, and then he'd gone, then he'd been really, really close to winning some pretty big tournaments and maybe a major.
I'll be honest, I didn't know who he was until
the only reason I did is I work at my other job, I work with just golf guy.
Yeah.
And he talks about golf.
Golf guy's
all the
intense,
time.
Yeah. Golf guy is a different breed of cat.
This is golf guy that's played Pebble Beach.
Yeah,
and he counted every stroke. He carded a 106 out there.
Not bad. A 106.
Yeah,
that's about what I shoot over at Knoxville Municipal.
Yeah, but he also, I mean, he was a college athlete, so I mean, I figured he's a pretty good golfer.
So it must be a really hard course.
Well, that's what he was saying. Because he's like, I've played Holston Hills and done fairly decent for an old dude. And I said, what'd you? And then this morning, just out of the buzz, like, hey, what'd you card when you played Pebble Beach?
So that was pretty cool. You had the Anthony Davis trade over the weekend.
Oh,
Bears excited.
Woo!
So much more exciting about all the Lakers games he's not going to watch next year.
Oh, I'm going to watch every single one of them now.
And by every single one of them, he means none.
You're crazy. We got monobrow.
Okay. I mean,
we're going to the finals, baby.
The Pelicans had him last year and didn't do anything. The Lakers had LeBron and didn't do anything. Why is everybody so sure that you add Anthony Davis to the Lakers and all of a sudden they're going to win the championship? Because this changes nothing. The narrative same as it was last year.
I'll tell you, because unlike you, I pay attention to the NBA
and
what's going on.
Noted NBA expert, Bear.
I mean, I listen
about to break it down for us here.
I mean, basically that consists of listening to John and Chance. So they're going to put I'd have to text Chance to get him to text me the names about who they're probably going to put with LeBron and Monobrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Leonard.
Yeah,
Kyrie.
The thing that's funny is you really do, like Bear, for somebody who doesn't watch a whole lot of sports at all, he really is, the excitement is genuine. Like, he is excited, but he will not watch any of the games, even if they make it to the playoffs and go deep. Bear will not watch, but he will be excited and will enjoy any success that the Lakers have, just as he was genuinely pained by the failure that the Lakers enjoyed or did not enjoy this year, the Lakers' failure. It pained Bear on a deep, visceral level, but yet he does not watch the games. It is very impressive and very unique to see somebody so emotionally vested in something that
you don't hang out with me on the weekends that much.
I know you.
Occasional hangout.
I know you.
We get the occasional hang for a couple of hours.
Yeah. I know you well enough to know that
you're not screwed up, and you've got to call me out to Stately Smith Manor to chastise me.
That's not true. It's it is a interesting thing. So I'm glad for you. I'm sure the Lakers will immediately become a force again.
Well, I mean, they're the odds-on favorite.
Well, tell me this, Bear.
To win the finals.
You would gladly trade Anthony Davis back and suffer through another year of Laker misery to get Kerry Blackshear in orange for one season, wouldn't you? You even have to, as if you even have to think about that. You actually watch some of the Tennessee games.
I watch every Tennessee game.
This is something that actually matters to you.
I watch every Tennessee game.
Well, I know that's not true because you've often talked about on the show about how I didn't see the game. So don't.
The only time I may not see it, but I listen.
You
to
listen?
It.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the reason I'm not able to watch all the games is because I have another job. But I always listen. I listen to every game this year or watched it. Yes, I would take Kerry Blackshear in a heartbeat. What do you think I am? Some kind of maniac? Heartless?
I'm not going to answer these questions.
Yeah, I would be absolutely thrilled. Do you think we're getting Kerry Blackshear?
I'm sticking by my I'll believe it when I see it prediction from last week. I understand the visit went well. Tennessee people are saying that the visit went well. They believe they're firmly in the mix. But he's going to Kentucky this week. He's going to Kentucky, I think, tomorrow to begin his official visit there. So you have to – We'll wait and see. You know, hopefully, it sounds like he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
So he's a mature young man. His dad came on the visit with him. I would hope, because you know Kentucky is going to be impressive. He's not going to go there and be like, it was all right. You know, like it's going to be impressive. He's going to see all of the NBA players.
They'll take him in the rough.
And see all the trophies and the banners and all the NBA players that Cal's coached, his jersey collection, trophy collection, all that stuff. Like, it's going to be hard to say no to. It is.
Will they have a mock NBA jersey with Blackshear?
Yeah, probably.
I hate him. I hate them.
I just hope, and if you're Rick Barnes, here's what you have to hope. You hope that he doesn't react emotionally off of that. I hope that he goes on his visit, if it's like a Tuesday, Wednesday thing, and says, you know what, I'm going to come back and think about it and make my decision over the weekend. You want some distance from that, right? You don't. If he makes his decision Wednesday night when he gets home, I'd say it's probably going to be Kentucky. But if he waits and, you know, maybe some phone call conversations with coaching staff and stuff like that, you've at least got a puncher's chance. You've at least got a puncher's chance at landing the 6'10", 250-pound big man who, like, if you go back and his numbers are impressive. I think he averaged like 15-9 last year, which is pretty darn good. It's not Grant Williams.
He was second team all ACC last year.
It's pretty good. And if you go back and look at the individual games, like last year, they're towards the end of the season, he was dominant, man. He had like 20-something points and 16 boards in a game against Duke. He went for 19-9 in a game against Louisville. Like, he rose to the occasion at the end of the year. He was playing his best basketball when his team needed him the most.
Why is he leaving Virginia Tech? Is it because their coach left to go to A&M?
I think it's part of that, and he also wants, I'm told, to he wants to be – he wants to play for, like most grad transfers, wants to go to the NCAA tournament,
right?
Be a part of a championship team and make a deep run.
I see, because you had me fired up with your theory about what Barnes can sell him that Cal can't. Now, what's your pitch if you're Barnes again?
I would just point out player development, and specifically Grant Williams, and how he's taken players that were overlooked in the recruiting process, most people didn't think were elite-level players, and turned them into guys who were getting set to go to the NBA. And I would contrast that to Kentucky, who you can't say they don't put guys in the NBA. They obviously do. But what I would point to is, like, look at Reed Travis last year. Was he a good player on a good team? Absolutely. Did he get better? No. Was he any better last year at Kentucky than he was the year before at Stanford? Not really.
He just had a better surrounding cast.
And if you look at Blackshear, the reason he's not getting drafted right now, the reason
What's his issue?
He's not getting drafted. Well, they don't think he's good enough, obviously. Otherwise, he would be.
Needs a little bit of polish?
Needs a lot of polish, probably. So if I were in his shoes, I would go to the place that promises the best player development, that's going to get me ready the best. That's what I would be looking at.
I mean, that's why we call Barnes a diamond polisher, Russ. He's a polisher. He polishes you up. He can find the flaws, buff them out.
The polisher?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call him?
Diamond polisher.
Since when? Since like
30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
It just hit my brain.
Yeah, the polisher, huh?
Yeah. He just takes a diamond in the rough, polishes him up, turns him into one of those rocks the rich guys buy their girls at Tiffany's in New York. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll workshop that one.
Not my best stuff.
We'll think about it. Where's the barometer at right now after Father's Day weekend?
Oh, we're going 28 and like 6.
No, I'm talking about football.
Oh. Okay.
There's a barometer for basketball?
Hell yeah, there is. We're going to the Elite Eight next
28
year.
28 and 6?
If we get Blackshear, we're going to the Elite Eight at least.
It's certainly possible.
I got all fired up about Jordan Bowden and Lamonte over the weekend.
And Josiah James.
And Josiah, mainly Bowden and Turner. It's their time to shine. I'm wanting to see those guys come in and be consistent, night in and night out, like Grant and Admiral, you know, were for the most part.
I think you will. I'm not freaking out. If we don't get Blackshear, I still think we're a 20-plus NCAA tournament team. Like, if we don't get him or B. Lau, like the 13 guys that Barnes has on scholarship right now.
They're tournaments.
Yeah, he'll put them in the tournament, man.
No doubt about
it. I don't know how far they'll go or anything like that, but when you got two senior guards and another five-star guard coming in, you got a chance. And Rick Barnes is going to coach these guys up. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, what happens if one of these guys or both of them do decide that they want to come to Knoxville next year, as obviously that would mean somebody's going to have to clear way to make room for a scholarship for Kerry Blackshear and or Josephat B. Lau. Where's the barometer at for football right
8
now?
8-4.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
That seems remarkably.
He's damn Helen Keller, a miracle worker, if he gets 8-4 out of that this year, buddy. And a bowl game with a chance to go to 9-4? What do you want out of Coach Pruitt?
I'm not
saying
like
it's you're a little bit hard on old Coach.
No, I'm not saying
he
that's
stops in all the time to hang out with us.
I'm not saying it's unreasonable, Bear. I'm saying based on previous barometer projections, the fact that it is reasonable has kind of thrown me for a loop. I was thinking 9-3 at worst, the barometer right now, with a 10-2, you know, possible given your refusal to concede the Georgia game.
Yeah, I'm still not conceding that one. I mean, let Trey Smith get officially ruled eligible and cleared, medically cleared to
play.
Sounds
like that's going to happen.
Hey, that thing might climb up to 10-2. Again,
Trey Smith could be the guy that puts us in the driver's seat in the East. 10-2.
Well, yeah, because then
you're
looking at Wanya Morris, Trey Smith, Darnell Wright, hopefully, and then who's the guy that ran 80 yards downfield and targeted somebody right in front of Pruitt last year?
Oh, man. Jameer Johnson?
I've got my eye on Jameer. He's got a motor.
Brandon Kennedy's back, I'm told, 100%.
Brandon Kennedy.
By the way,
that's where it's at. That's why I'm so nutty about I'm going to be completely off my rocker if they don't land Cooper Mays. He's a damn 3-4-year starter at center in the SEC.
Cooper Mays, another Catholic product that Bear's in love with. He has already sung the praises.
I mean, he's you know, Kevin Mays' kid. Don't act like we all wouldn't love it if Cade, you know, hadn't turned.
Did you see the pictures of Tyler Barron on his visit to Ohio State this weekend?
No, huh? I tried to stay off social media this weekend for the most part.
He was up there with his dad.
Yeah, who's a coach at Tennessee or something.
Who's on the staff at Tennessee, been through for a number of years through a number of different coaches.
I didn't know that. He has?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Patrick Abernathy. I believe that's his name. I'll have to go back and double check that.
Okay. So anyhow, where did he go on his visit? Ohio State?
Yeah.
what the pictures look like to his dad.
It was weird because, like, his dad, if you follow Tennessee, you know, you've seen his dad on the sidelines. You've seen him in the media guide or whatever. And he's a Tennessee guy. He's there. Like, I don't think he was wearing an Ohio State pullover, but he had a gray pullover, and then he had a red, like, what do you call those? Is it a placard? The thing that goes around your neck and holds on to a lanyard. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a red lanyard
on.
What's a
placard?
A placard is like a sign.
What's the thing that goes like this thing when it goes all the way down your shirt? A placket. Is that a placket?
A what?
A placket.
What the hell is a placket? What are you talking about?
It's the seam on a button down shirt that goes like all the way down. That's your placket.
It's your gig line. You got to keep everything straight from your neck to your waist.
Is it a placket, Parker? No. Can you?
You know, your belt buckle's supposed to line up with that.
Am I making up a word right now?
Are you? How would you spell that?
I don't know. It's either placket like jacket, I think so. or
okay.
Look, River found it in his first ever contribution to Fan Run Radio. River Bailey with a real time fact check. The placket, the French placket. Well, there are different kinds of placket. It's the on a button down. It's like this thing. It goes all the way down. That's your placket.
No, it's called your gig line.
No, it's called a placket. Yeah.
Phil Harris, somebody I work for, he told me that was your gig line.
Okay. Old Phil Harris, wrong. That's your placket, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together. Anyway, this is not what I was talking about. I'm talking about a lanyard. And anyway, Barron's dad had on the gray pullover
with the
red, like Ohio State lanyard. So it made it look like he was wearing it, which is like an awkward photograph for an employee of Tennessee football to be in.
What do you think Jeremy's thinking back home here? He's looking at that picture.
Well, it's got to be just a really awkward spot to be in for the dad, right? Because you want the best for your son, as all dads do. And you want your son to go where he's most comfortable, where he's going to get the best education, the best football experience. We all want the best for our kids, right? And so, but you're also an employee of Tennessee football and the football department over there. And
I wonder if they had somebody following him around.
Like from Ohio State?
Yeah, keeping an eye on him.
To make sure he's not
he doesn't get in a restricted area, a room in, you know, I mean, like Mission Impossible.
Maybe that's the play here. Maybe he's our mole. Getting inside Ryan Day's operation.
Yeah, I don't care. As long as his kid needs to wear orange.
Telling the other recruits, oh man, this place sucks. You know, like here.
You think there's there's any pressure on him to
last coach
to bring
harbored
his child?
Serial killers on his team, man. You don't want to go up here. These people are weird in Ohio. Greg Schiano coached here. You want to be a part of that?
You think Urban Meyer's hireable after this latest one?
Not right now, but
in a year?
Give it a year or two. And, you know, maybe at like USC, if that blows up, as it very well may, what's that guy's name?
Clay Helton.
Clay Helton.
Tyson Helton's older brother.
Like, he's got to win this year. It looks like desperation. Like, he tried to hire Kingsbury, and then he left. And
I mean, is USC going to be – I mean, they've got so much baggage and bad PR and just the past. I mean, in all honesty, I know they've probably won more games than us, but here's a hot question for you. Who would you rather – who's had the worst past 10 years, USC or Tennessee?
Oh, Tennessee by far. USC won a Rose Bowl a year or two ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I'm talking about all the black eyes and off the field stuff and just the
Tennessee
turmoil.
By far. It's not even close.
All right, fine. You hire Urban Meyer, and that's just, I mean.
But the thing about that is that's the perfect place for him to go is because it's L.A. And you've got two pro football teams in there now with a new pro stadium. You've got UCLA, they're playing football. You've got the Lakers. You've got the Dodgers. You've got the Clippers. Like, Lane Kiffin used to talk about it. Like, it was such culture shock for Lane when he came to Knoxville because he was used to being in Los Angeles, whether
he was
with
like
the Raiders,
the number 20
or with USC.
Story.
Yeah, he'd go out to any restaurant he wanted to. He'd go out, and nobody would bother him. Nobody would recognize him. And he could walk down the street. And like, that's the life he was used to living. And so he just did that when he came here. And it was a complete and utter shock to him that it's like,
yeah, I was working at one of the places down in the old city that he, you know, right after he'd gotten the job that he came to. And it was like, wow.
I don't think anybody should have pulled him away and said, you can't go out to eat, because you can. And different coaches are going to handle like the people coming up to you for autographs and pictures like differently. Like some people, he seems like he'd be a little more okay with that anyway. But he didn't get the big deal of that. I was, well, dude, it's Knoxville. This is not Los Angeles. Like
Southeastern Conference. This is.
Yeah, it's you are probably, as the head coach at Tennessee, the most visible man in town.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, right now I think it's
in a smaller town. Barnes. Yeah. Like you're probably the most. Yeah. Is Barnes more visible than Jeremy Pruitt?
I think Pruitt stands out more because of that just beautiful gleaming dome of his.
Yeah.
But I think that Barnes, yeah. I mean, Barnes is just, I mean, he's been coaching for 30 years. Everybody knows Barnes. So when you see him around town, he definitely sticks out. Plus, I mean, he's, you know, it's not like Barnes is small. He's a
Parker, who would draw a bigger crowd just walking down the strip on campus right now, Rick Barnes or Jeremy Pruitt?
Probably Rick, just because he seems more social and more approachable.
You'd be a little bit intimidated approaching Jeremy Pruitt and, hey, coach?
I think so. One-on-one, you're not going to approach Pruitt.
No. Really?
No, I would in a heartbeat.
So if you're in line at Wendy's.
Me? Yeah.
And Jeremy Pruitt is just – you're sitting there waiting on your Frosties or something, and Pruitt's sitting there. He's, like, looking at his phone, glancing up. Where is it, man? What's taking so long? Like, you wouldn't go up and be like, hey, coach, what's up?
Not unless he was in a good mood, but with his, you know, blank face he has. Probably not.
But Barnes, you would. If Barnes is sitting there, you might go, hey, coach, how's it going?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I was sitting in a chair at Panera and locked eyes with Barnes and was contemplating. It was like he could read my mind. And, like, I wasn't about to go up to him.
Really?
Honestly, I wouldn't go up to either one.
Did you get a – did he give you a look of, don't do it, don't come over and talk to me like I'm eating? Or did he –
No, he was getting up to leave. He was standing up to leave, and I was getting ready to sit down. And I looked up, and he's, like, 10 feet away from me. Yeah. We locked eyes, and I was like –
You locked eyes. You had a moment.
Yeah. I really wanted to, you know.
What would you have said?
Keep up the good work. Love having you as our coach.
Would you have introduced yourself as Bear from Fan Run Radio? I mean, I know he doesn't seem like a sports radio listener.
Barnes, unlike Butch Jones, gives absolutely zero, you know, what's about what anybody says about him on sports talk radio. He doesn't care. He's not going to – remember
– I think most coaches don't care, but I think they will tune in and listen – They all say they don't, but I know for a fact that some of them do. And I think they'll tune in not necessarily to hear what's being said about themselves, but I think they'll tune in for the reason that the rest of us tune in, because it's cool and we like it and we want to hear sports radio.
Yeah. I mean, he's I don't know. He's just very intimidating. He's got a presence about him. Have you met him yet?
Yeah. He is.
He has a presence.
He has a stern, like, father figure, like, thing
probably doesn't suffer fools lightly kind of vibe. I don't know.
But
like, I'd be afraid I'd say something stupid in front of him.
Oh, you would definitely say something stupid in front of him. But I think that the thing about Barnes is he does have that demeanor about him where it's like, you know, he doesn't look like somebody could go up and just shoot the breeze with and like, oh, it's kind of hot outside. You know what's good when hot? I like to go and get a nice ice cream cone. You know, you get a Brewster's coach. He doesn't look like that. But the people that know him
say
that's exactly the type of guy he is. That he's a cut up. And when he's not in the gym or watching film or something, that he is as laid back and down to earth as anybody you will meet.
I've heard all that. But he also gives off that hardcore, and he's the head coach,
mm-hmm.
and it gives you a little bit of pause when you realize that, you know, if he told me to, I said something stupid, he tells me to take a lap around the shopping center, I'm probably going to go ahead and take my lap. I don't know. He gives off that coach vibe. Pruitt, I feel like I would have more in common with.
Sorry, I'm fighting back a sneeze.
It's all right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
That's why I saw you look at me, Parker, kind of weird like, but yeah.
Honestly, the most approachable one would be Vitello. I really think that.
Well, yeah, I mean, hell, Vitello would be like, hey, man, you want to go throw shoes down at the back door? Yeah. We're going to get.
He's the only one that I would actually approach because I respect their privacy. So.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's good, Parker. Yeah.
Well, no, I do that too. I've never.
Well, you wouldn't go. Here's the thing. You could, on his way out, you could have had that conversation. You're just describing, hey, coach, you know, good to see you. Go get him. You know, that kind of thing. You don't do what he's eating, though. You shouldn't interrupt people while they're eating.
No, that's incredibly rude. Who would be your top person? Well, I know yours because you fanboyed out when George R. Martin, because you got the picture with him.
I did.
Is there anybody else that you would just so caught you just did?
Famous people that I want to meet?
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I'm not the – I don't want to meet people, like just to meet them. You know, if I got to meet them, I don't know. I'm kind of the same way as Parker. I just don't –
But you did a good job. You got the selfie.
Yeah. I don't know why I did that.
Because Earnhardt Jr. doesn't like signing autographs because he tells people, you know, I could sign my name on something that doesn't mean anything. Let's take a picture together. So Earnhardt always
– I would – yeah, no, that makes – I would rather have – because I used to get some autographs and stuff when I was a kid.
I've never cared about autographs.
And I don't know where they are. Like, they're just – like, I've got Peyton autographs and stuff that might – I don't know if they're worth anything. But, like, I remember getting his autograph, Heath Shuler's autograph and stuff, like, when they would come speak at our church or whatever growing up. And I don't know what happened to those, you know?
Yeah.
I would rather have – it would be much cooler to have a picture. Like, Junior's right.
Yeah.
Has the picture – the selfie picture, that's replaced the autograph, hasn't it?
I mean, other than for the, you know, people that traffic in athletes, you know, famous people's celebrity signatures. I mean, for me, I'd much rather have a picture with somebody. Give me a picture of Junior. That'd be awesome. Pointing at him.
We're way overdue.
Yeah, I know. We had a good conversation going.
Where were we going with that? Oh, yeah, so Tyler Barron and his dad are up there. His name is Patrick Abernathy. His dad, he's in player development.
Is he related to the to Ralph Abernathy, the Abernathys that just came through UT?
No, I don't think so. That was Micah Abernathy.
Yeah, no, but his grandfather was Dr. Ralph Abernathy.
Yeah,
and then we had Ralph as older.
There are a lot of other Abernathys out there. They're not all related.
I realize that. It's
a fairly common name.
I mean, usually when you see, I don't know.
I feel like we've got a couple of different.
That's a family name, you know, Abernathy, but it could easily be. I mean, this is the South. It's football.
Couple of good options here. We got to need to figure out one of these. Who's more recognizable / approachable?
I'm gonna go with Pruitt, man.
Is more approachable.
Yeah, I just have known dudes like him all my life.
Huh.
And I hang out still to this day with dudes that are just like that guy.
All right, let's think about that. We got to take a quick break here. We're going to be live tomorrow at Jets Pizza in Farragut. I want you to come on out and see us. We're going to have plenty of Smokies tickets to give away. The Smokies are back in town this weekend. If you want to go out and catch a game, come by and see us tomorrow at Jets Pizza. Right next to the Shrimp Dock, Kingston Pike in Farragut will be there from 3 until 6 p.m. They've got the best happy hour in town daily from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. $2 pints at Jets Pizza in Farragut. Join us tomorrow as we broadcast The Drive live from 3 to 6 in West Knoxville. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive rages on. Russell LeBaire with you here on a Monday afternoon. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to jump on board. 546-8200. Buster is up first today. Hello, Buster.
Hello, Russell Bear.
What's up?
Your sidekick's in today?
Trey Wallace is taking the day off. He should be back tomorrow at Jets Pizza with us.
I'll be working, you know, and it's hard to talk when I'm trying to deliver boxes. But, hey, I'm thinking about the guy because he's my NASCAR guy along with Bear.
Understand.
Hey, Russell, what you was talking about teaching and Barnes is what I texted this morning to Jeff Fancher, who's the big brother who used to be a basketball manager for UT under, I think it was O'Neal, but you remember Houston Fancher.
Yeah.
And I texted him. I said, "Tell, ask Houston, what does he think?" I said, "I think Barnes is the right man candidate to teach our incoming folks, along with a mentor of our senior or soft junior ball players, that I'm just asking that these players get their head together by February 1st. I think that's nothing to ask for. February 1st, we'll take what we get until then, and then greatness will happen, because you want to top out as you go into the tournament. Not like us this year, we had a machine. And we didn't know we were back heavy on strength of schedule toward the end. And we were just being cannibalized by these other players, other teams, because they saw a chance to get a higher boost of their ratings for the tournament."
Well, it's all about peaking at the right time, Buster. And I don't know, do you feel like last year's team, Bear, flamed out? Like, did we peak too early in basketball?
No, I think that the problem was, guys we needed to step up and be rotational players last year on our bench weren't able for whatever reason. Like, Pons took a step back, Derek Walker. And by the time we got to the tournament, you know, we talked about it all season long, Russ. We kept looking at the minutes played for all those guys. And I kind of feel like we ran out of gas and we're in a position where, you know, a bad call here or there towards the end of the season, you know, kind of sunk it. But mainly, I think their legs went, you know, they lost their legs at the end of the year.
Well, that's true. Baron, I think you're pretty much on course. But, you know, these kids, this generation, unless they get a motivated speaker like Ernie or Bernard or Jimmy England, or, I mean, get somebody that's got some blood and guts, and give them a little bit of Kool-Aid. You know, it's hard, this generation we got. Barry, you know, I love you, and you and I agree a lot. I don't agree with you on NASCAR because of Kyle Busch, and I don't agree with you on SEC at Omaha, because I'm with the Swamp Rat. You know, once we get to national stage, we've got to embrace what we got. And I told the Blitz crew last Monday, my prediction is Florida State versus Vanderbilt in the finals next weekend. So, so far I'm looking good. Thank you, Jesus. So,
thank you.
You guys have a good show.
You too, Buster.
Buster.
So did I get Buster correct there?
I don't know.
He walked right up to the edge of the cliff. I mean, I was getting ready to flush him because I thought he was going to say, do the rah 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 SEC bullcrap that I don't subscribe to.
Yeah, you're not pulling for any of the SEC teams.
No, I hope that every other team in college athletics not named Tennessee loses every single game. Everyone. I hate them all, some more than others.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
The ones I hate more than others are the other SEC schools. Hate them. We'll see them get any traction. Not one bit.
So if South Carolina is playing Ohio State in the College World Series, you're pulling for the Buckeyes.
In that respect,
I've got you.
There are certain teams that Ohio State goes into a whole nother category.
Okay.
They're up there in there with in that room is Alabama.
South Carolina against Notre Dame. Pulling for the Irish.
No, because Notre Dame's in that room with Alabama and
South Carolina against Michigan.
Michigan's in that room.
All right, so it really doesn't have to anything to do with just the SEC.
I have levels of hatred, and there's a bunch of teams at the very top.
South Carolina against Texas.
Texas.
Really?
Yeah, I go with the Longhorns.
Really?
Yeah.
They're the other UT in orange. They try and steal our swag.
Yeah, man, when I was a kid, I loved Earl Campbell, man.
You're taking Texas? You can't root for Texas.
It's not really rooting. I just kind of, you know, I'm happier if
South
they win.
I don't know why. I'm just choosing South Carolina.
South Carolina's a bad one with me because I kind of, you know.
Well, I'm trying to pick one of the least threatening SEC teams out there. Arkansas, who is playing right now in the College World Series, is playing Florida State. You're pulling for the Seminoles.
No.
Arkansas is playing Texas Tech. In the
I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Oh, hypothetically, no. They're playing the Seminoles?
Yeah.
I'd be rooting for Arkansas because Florida State's in that room with Michigan and the others.
So that's a pretty big room. This room is crowded, Bear.
Yeah, but that's not the penthouse.
Who's in the penthouse?
You know who. My most hated team. Completely irrational.
Outside the SEC?
No.
In the SEC?
Yeah, in the East.
So there are separate rooms within the SEC is like a house.
Yeah.
And the penthouse is reserved for
Georgia
and Alabama.
No, I wouldn't even put Alabama up there.
You hate Georgia more than you hate Alabama.
Yeah.
Roll down tide.
Nothing would make me happier than for Georgia to go winless in every major sport every single year. I mean, I hate them.
Big Josh says, Buster reminds me of Yogi Berra. I don't know if the guy's a genius or if he is a couple of bricks short of a load.
Big Josh been on fire lately. Dynamite stuff coming from him.
DC Coltrane says, I used to try and talk football with Doug Dickey, but he was always a jerk to me. I didn't talk to anyone other than that on the Hill.
I wouldn't take it personal with Doug Dickey because he was kind of like that with everybody. He was a very stern man.
Troy B says 8-4, Wilson is going to snowplow UT's D. 6-6 will be an achievement. Who's Wilson?
I have no idea.
Could that have been a typo?
Terry Wilson, or is that Kentucky?
Terry Wilson?
Kentucky's quarterback?
Guy's terrible.
That guy's horrible.
That's the only person it could be, right?
They were number 10 and came in here last year, and we left, you know, they had to come back 2 days later and pick up like two or three guys at UT Hospital.
They are a different team at Kroger Field, Bear.
We've never had a problem with them.
It's true.
They have a Coliseum up there, I tell you what.
How many times have we lost to them now?
Two.
Twice in my lifetime. What is there a Wilson on BYU? Who is Wilson?
There is no amount of magic underwear that's going to help them.
There's probably 10 Wilsons on BYU.
Why? Is that a Mormon name?
I don't know. It's a white name, right?
No.
Okay.
Terry Wilson's black.
Well, wow.
A white name?
No. No, it's not. Not at all.
Okay, well.
Things just got a little awkward in here.
Well, that's the only.
Zach Wilson is the BYU quarterback. Troy was actually playing chess with us.
Yeah, come on, Troy.
So it is a Mormon name. I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Got it. Pivot and try and get out of this awkward hole that we've dug for ourselves. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Coming up, it's your Rickard Rich Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Who's more recognizable in Knoxville, Jeremy Pruitt or Rick Barnes? I feel like it's got to be Pruitt. I feel like it's got to be Pruitt just because of
if it is, it's simply because of his lack of hair.
The bald head is he's a recognizable guy just to begin with. I know he's unassuming. I know he doesn't have a magnetic personality, or at least a magnetic personality on television that comes across on TV or radio.
He's a ball coach, though. He's a big, big old former college football playing head football coach.
He's got a very distinct look, and he is the football coach at Tennessee, and I maintain that that is always the most visible person in town, is the head football coach
at Tennessee. Barnes is pushing it.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. Hot question coming up.
The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Who is more recognizable in Knoxville? Jeremy Pruitt or Rick Barnes? I mean, if you had asked this question even like at the end of the Fulmer era when Bruce Pearl was a rock star here, it would still have been Fulmer, right? I mean, it was just a football town.
I don't know about that one, bro.
Oh, 100%.
Bruce was going to the games bare-chested with paint.
Yeah, but
he was face painting fan.
It's just so weird that we're having these conversations to me because people we used to have them occasionally in sports radio, and football always blew. Whether it was what's more important to you, who do you like more, which coach do you like more, like anything football trumped anything basketball forever. Even into the Butch Jones here, it's just the way it was. But football has reached such a point, and basketball was so good this year that we're actually having that conversation. I don't know if that's a good thing, if it speaks as much to basketball's ascendancy as it does to football's malaise, but we are having those conversations. As a matter of fact, right now, at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll, 156 votes cast, 53% of the audience says it's Rick Barnes.
Wow. Speaking of numbers and polls, we've got to address the that poll from last week, the 50-50.
Oh, wow. How about that?
I blew my mind when I looked at the next day and I screenshot it and texted it to you.
I don't know if I want to go back there, Bear. Like, that was the most – that's by far the most controversial off-season topic we've gotten into so far.
I really never thought pancakes and waffles from a couple of years ago would get topped. Remember the great breakfast controversy of the summer of, what was that, 14?
And it's weird, too, because it was such an offhand remark by me. Like, I don't even remember it was a caller. I don't remember who. And we were talking. I don't even remember what we were talking about. But I said something of yada, 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 like more rural areas like Jackson.
Yeah, because we're talking about who, Al Wilson?
I don't even think we were talking about Al Wilson. We might have been. But I said something about, you know, rural areas like Jackson, Tennessee. And I got like two or three comments on Twitter. Jackson isn't rural. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course Jackson is rural. And then I got to think, I'm like, well, I don't know. I've never really stopped. I've just driven through. And the next thing you know, I mean, that stuff was all over my timeline all weekend long.
Really? People still that hot about it?
Yes. Just arguing with, like, I wasn't even participating.
People or the Jackson people?
I wasn't even participating, bro. And, like, people are arguing on my, to the point where, like, I'm muting conversations and stuff.
I do that all the time.
Anyway, it ended 50-50. We asked the question, is Jackson, Tennessee rural? And it was 50-50 with well over 1,000 votes cast.
Yeah.
Very, very hot topic. Very hot topic. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Who's more recognizable in Knoxville, Pruitt or Barnes? Rickard Ridge Barbecue, home of the best ribs in the Volunteer State. I understand they had a great weekend up there at the weather and everything. A lot of people made the trip up to Rickard Ridge. We appreciate you guys showing some love to our sponsors here. This stuff we call Fan Run Radio doesn't work unless you, the listening audience, go to our sponsors and patronize them, and y'all are doing it. We appreciate that. Keep it up. Be sure to tell them, you know, whether it's Rickard Ridge or Jiffy Lube or Jets, CNB, whoever, you know, that you're listening to their ads here on Fan Run Radio, and it's working. 865-546-8200. O.J. Simpson, speaking of Twitter.
Yes. He's tweeted three times.
He's come to social media. O.J. is on Twitter. The juice is loose on Twitter.
Yeah, that's – do you watch the videos?
A little – it's so cringy. I feel bad watching it. Like,
these two guys don't understand because they weren't alive when
they understand. They know who OJ is and what he did, allegedly.
He got found responsible in the civil trial.
Responsible? I mean, he did it. Like, I think we all know he did it. Even the people who were happy that he didn't go to prison for it, kind of know in the back of their minds he did it.
Yeah, he did it. He had help,
I can't. I saw the videos. It is the cringe factor is off the charts.
Yeah, because he's a sociopath. That comes through on the videos to me.
He's like, "Hey, we're gonna have some fun." First of all, OJ, you're 80 now, isn't he? 80? How old is OJ? Is 70? 80? Like, he's an old man. He's sneaky old.
I mean, he was in the NFL 50 years ago.
71.
OJ's 71. How much fun are we going to have with an old man on Twitter? No offense to our 70-year-olds out there. It's a key demographic.
Who committed one of the most heinous murders of the 20th century and got away with it scot-free, other than the civil.
You know, like ladies, he still gets ladies too. Like even at 70, like he's always got ladies with him. That's the thing that boggles my mind. It's like
some women are attracted to sociopaths.
I understand that. Like he can be charming, obviously, but it's like you do know this guy's reputation, right? You are aware of the whether or not you believe that he lopped off his ex-wife's dome and the dude she was with. Like it's a pretty well-established fact this guy beat the crap out of her for years before that.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
We've all heard the tapes. Yeah.
Maybe pick him a little. And he can't be wealthy anymore, right? Because any wages he gets are garnished. Like, I understand he has some money and, like, people are always going to take care of him. He has access because he's OJ. But what reason do you have gallivanting around with a 70-year-old murderer?
Some
with a documented history of violence towards women.
Some women get off on that. I don't know. People are crazy, man. Males and females. Do weird stuff. But I've read it. I mean, hell, Ted Bundy, didn't he get married when he was in prison?
He did, yeah.
Charles Manson didn't have a lack of women that wanted to, you know, chat him up.
Maybe that's not a bad move. Some of the single guys around here, I mean, we've got a couple of single guys we work with. A lot of dudes here at Fan Run Radio, almost exclusively male workforce. And a lot of guys are, you know, single, and they're always lamenting, I'm striking out with the ladies or whatever. Commit a heinous crime, go to prison. Seems to be working for some of these guys.
Start a cult, be a serial killer, be a serial domestic abuser.
Just an idea, not necessarily a good one. Just an idea.
We're workshopping it.
Yeah. Trying to help my coworkers here. That's what I do. Always looking to help.
So it wouldn't surprise, like, who would least surprise you out of the guys we work with if you found out they were pen pals with, like, some axe murdering woman in a.
Cody McClure, for sure.
All right, so we're going to be at Jet's Pizza tomorrow, 3 to 6, doing the drive live. If you want to go see the Smokies, Smokies are in town this weekend. I've already promised my 4-year-old, who is addicted to Major League Baseball. I mean, we're watching every day now. I promised
him.
Has he
got the fever?
I'm taking him to Smokies Park this weekend. I don't know if we're going to go Saturday or Sunday. We're going to a Smokies game. So if you see me, say hello.
It's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
See if there's an evening game Friday. Because it's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous Friday evening.
My, and this is just the weather app. I know you're not supposed to. Yeah, Friday's looking good, but every other day has thunderstorms in the forecast for like the next week.
Welcome to Tennessee in the summer.
What would you do if OJ followed you? Like popped up on your notifications. You are being followed by OJ Simpson.
Honestly, I'd probably block him.
No.
That might
no.
be. Yeah, I don't know. No. Yeah, wait, get Bear. You know this guy's history, right? This is not a man you want to anger or provoke in any way.
Damn 71-year-old man come at me with a knife. I know what's up with him. He'd jump out of the bushes. He'd get my switchblade buried in his ear.
What I would do is I just never tweet again. Just don't use Twitter anymore.
I think you'd have to like move and change your name.
No, you wouldn't.
It's OJ!
I mean, what do you do if you find yourself in a hot-blooded knife fight with OJ Simpson?
Woo!
Like fighting Tyson in his prime, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you got to run. I think you got to just, like, throw all your masculinity to the way, just, you know, survival mode. I think you get out of there.
And get caught from behind by a 71-year-old former NFL running back?
As far as I know, OJ Simpson in knife fights, undefeated. 2-0. Too soon. I don't think those are chances you want to take. I think you just get out of there. I think you turn and run the other way. We got to go. Top 4 at 4. Coming up, Parker Pugh will get us caught up on our world of sports. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.